We want to know more about this report. You release it every 2 years, and you have three new areas of concern, so that's new. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we have, as you mentioned, we issue this every 2 years with the start of each new Congress. We began our high-risk program in 1990, and what our interest has been is to identify those sets of federal programs, operations, and functions that are most vulnerable to waste, fraud, abuse, or mismanagement, or in need of fundamental transformation. And the idea here is by pulling together a succinct set of these programs and operations and highlighting them for the Congress, we can get action on behalf of the administration and the Congress in order to resolve what are often some very long-standing problems that the federal government faces. As you mentioned, we've got three new areas this year. We have we need to modernize the outdated U.S. financial regulatory system. The financial regulatory structure has been in place in some cases over 100 years, but certainly has not kept pace with all the changes in the different instruments and tools that are out there in the market, and we're seeing kind of the catastrophic results of that in recent months. We need to enhance the oversight of medical products. FDA increasingly faces challenges in making sure that the medical products that are being used here in the U.S. are safe and effective, and they just have some real capacity issues on that. It's very similar to the food safety concerns that have been on the high-risk list last time with FDA. And then finally, we need to, as you mentioned, control toxic chemicals. And there that we found that EPA does not have a sufficient chemical assessment information to determine whether or not it should establish controls on limits to a public exposure to a wide range of chemicals, and that really undermines public health and safety. So those are the three areas that went on, and then, of course, we took one off, as you mentioned, and that was FAA's air traffic control modernization.
Now, is that because it's – why remove it?
Well, they had been on since 1995, and our big concern there was that with the big modernization program, and this was a multi-billion-dollar program, that they hadn't had that there had been problems with the program's cost and complexity, and just it had been problem-plagued right from the very beginning. In recent years, FAA has really begun to put in place the steps and the discipline processes that it needs to have improved management capabilities on many projects, to make sure that the workforce is sufficiently trained in order to manage these. As they're moving into kind of the next stage of air traffic control modernization, the so-called next generation, we're hopeful and we'll be continuing to keep a close eye on to making sure that the lessons learned and the progress that they've been making to date really translates and transitions into the next stage for next generation system. But that's why they put in place a good improvement plan, have the top leadership attention that they need to address those issues, and are making sure that they, and we're going to be making sure with them, that improvement plan is effectively implemented.
Chris, one that's been on there for a number of years, and it's largely DOD's business transformation efforts, and it's largely on there because they're so huge, they have such impact on the whole state of government, particularly financial management stuff. If they don't get it right, no one can.
Right.
Have a lot of people have been sort of sensing that they've been making progress? What's your guys' sense?
Short answer is yes. They have been making progress on this. I mean, the enormity, as you pointed out, Christopher, in your question. I mean, the enormity of the challenges that the DOD faces is really just enormous. I mean, it's overwhelming. I mean, of the 30 areas on the high risk list that we have, 8 of those are solely owned by the Department of Defense, and they partially own another 7 of those. And so basically, they're half of the high risk areas are DOD. And in terms of financial management, also, as you mentioned, I mean, one of the primary reasons, and perhaps the primary reason, that we're not able to give an opinion on the government-wide financial statements, that is, we issue a disclaimer every year, is because of poor progress in financial management over the Department of Defense. Now, they have been making progress in that, and certainly the transformation board that they had in place during the Bush administration and should carry over to the Obama administration has begun to get in place the set of discipline that you need to really getting that cascaded down throughout the organization. It's just, given the scope of the challenges that they face and the size of the organization, it's just going to take them a lot more work in order to get off.
I find it fascinating that more than half are somehow associated with DOD, considering the amount of money that's being funneled over there for obvious reasons. And you even mentioned financial management is a big part of it. Do you find that sort of financial aspect touches most of the things that wind up on these high-risk lists?
It's financial management, contract management, a lot of very basic internal controls type issues. The other thing that seems to cut across many of the areas on the high risk list is kind of the jargony term of the moment of network management, or the need for collaboration, the need for organizations to work across organizational lines and boundaries. That's something that's really a root cause in a number of high risk areas. Certainly with contract management, the ability of government to work well with contractors, food safety. I mentioned earlier, there's that patchwork approach of for food safety programs. That's certainly what was behind the putting on the both the new medical devices high risk area, as well as the need to reform the oversight and structure of financial institutions. I mean, all of those are a function of really making sure that the federal government has the ability to work successfully across organizational lines.
And go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
And I often ask about financial management, because it's so many of these issues are difficult to tackle if you can't sort of, financial management gives you the measurement to sort of do that. But give folks a sense as to how does this list get determined? Because oftentimes people felt like they made the list and then they could never get off. So you've actually taken some folks off this year, which I think a lot of agencies will give them hope that they can eventually get off the list. But give folks an idea how you actually decide who makes the list and who doesn't.
Okay. First of all, on that point about whether or not it's possible to get off, and the answer to that is certainly yes. I mean, since 1990, we've had 19 agencies come off or 19 areas come off the high risk list, and ended up consolidating another two of them. And so, I mean, people do move off, and then every update, usually one, two, and in some cases three programs or operations come off the high risk list. In terms of how you get on this, and this is something that full credit to the agency. Because what you're hearing, they also told us a number of years ago, hey, GAO, we need you guys to publish for us some real criteria on how you make your decisions to put people on, which can help them avoid a high-risk designation, but also how you can end up getting off of that. And we ended up publishing our criteria on that, and it's referenced in our high-risk report that's on the website today. And you can see the published document in there. Basically, what we look for is, are there inherent problems which may arise just with the very nature of the way the program is structured? That is it one, as I mentioned earlier, that is reliant on a wide variety of partners, federal and non-federal partners, and public and private sector partners? Have there been systematic problems in that area? Are there major risks in terms of public health or safety or service delivery, national security? And then are there big dollars at stake? We look for at least a minimum of $1 billion at risk in such areas. And we have it's basically a funnel approach and a pretty disciplined approach that we go through and make sure that we get yeses to each of the variety of these questions to put someone on. To get someone off, what we're fundamentally looking for is, first, is there the top leadership attention, and do they understand the importance of addressing the high-risk issues? It's getting off the list isn't the issue. It's addressing the problem that got you on. That's what we want them to be focused at the high level on that. Have they put in place a good action plan and did with milestones and deliverables for that, and are they beginning to effectively execute that action plan? Those are the three keys that get you off the list.
Is that the sort of advice that you would give everyone out there on how to avoid being on the list, is to watch how others have gotten on it?
Absolutely, Amy. I mean, it's what we found, and this has been the key to the last administration under Clay Johnson. I mean, and over at OMB, he was diligent in insisting that the agencies come up with plans if they were on the high risk list, with strategies with understanding how they got on, how they were going to get off, deliverables in terms of milestones, and also accountable officials, and making sure that there was clear accountability, clear transparency as to why they were on and why they were going to get off. That's exactly the type of approach. Obviously, we would recommend that the Obama administration kind of continue that focus on the high-risk area, but also for agencies that have long-standing problems, want to make sure that they don't kind of, in a sense, elevate to a high-risk designation. That's the type of approach that they need to get on. Many of these problems aren't difficult in a technical sense. What they are is they're difficult in the sense that it takes a lot of time and energy to address them. And so, the way to do that is really getting in place a good plan, and again, getting the deliverables down and making sure that you have the accountability and have assigned milestones to track progress over time.
And Chris, very briefly, because we're way over time,
sure.
We kept you too long, but is there, who has been on the list for the longest time and why?
Longest time and why? We have a number that have been on there right from 1990, and a lot of these are just that the nature of the problems are so intractable. We have Medicare has been on there since 1990.
I see.
Enforcement of tax laws. We have a $300 billion tax gap, and IRS is working at that and focused on that, but that's just real tough on how you deal with that. NASA acquisition has been on there. Defense supply chain management, defense weapons system acquisition, DOE contract management. You know, it's a lot of the, as they say in the movies, the usual suspects.
Yeah, it sometimes feels like some of these challenges have been with us forever, but and you make progress on some, and it's probably never going to be totally fixed, but because we all keep getting better and better, we hope.